Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 24.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," and the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him now. I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make you your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nature on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Sometime later, Abraham was told, "Milcah is also a mother. She has borne sons to your brother Nahor: Uz, the firstborn; Buz, his brother; Camel, the father of Abraham; Kezed, Hazu, Phildash, Jileph, and Bethel. Bethel became the father of Rebekah. Milcah bore these eight sons to Abraham's brother Nahor. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also had sons: Tebah, Gaham, Tahash, and Mahakah.
Let's pray. Father God, as we approach this very well-known passage, we pray that you would bring new things to light, that you would challenge our hearts and minds, that you might reshape us and focus us to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And so it's in his name we pray this. Amen. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good one, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The words of Romans 5. On the 3rd of February 1943, the US Army transport ship Dorchester was crossing the icy North Atlantic Sea when it was struck by a German torpedo. Panic, of course, swept the decks, And as the lights went out and the chaos began, nearly 900 men were on board, most of them soldiers heading off to war. Amid the chaos, there were four army chaplains who stepped up to give a lending hand. They moved calmly around in the dark, guiding frightened men to the lifeboats, handing out life jackets, and caring for the wounded, as well as praying for those who were frightened. But soon, they ran out of life jackets. And in that moment, each one of these chaplains did something that is unforgettable. Without hesitation, they took their own life jackets off and gave them to younger men, knowing full well what that meant. Survivors later recalled seeing the four chaplains with their arms linked, praying together as the ship went down. Of the 900 men on board, just 230 were rescued, and sadly, the chaplains were not among them. In an amazing act of selfless love, these four men gave up their own chance at life, handing over their own life jackets, taking the place of others. They sacrificed themselves so that others might live. And in a similar but eternal way, that is what God has done for us through Jesus. On the cross, Jesus took our place, dying the death that we deserve to die, so that we could receive the gift of eternal life. God provided the sacrifice as he laid down his own life in our place so that we might live. Now, many of us have heard this story so many times that we're so familiar with it. We know what God is asking Abraham to do, and we know how it turns out in the end. But if you were to read this chapter for the very first time without ever having heard about it before, what's going on in today's passage is shocking, and it would shock you. It's shocking to our modern Western minds that God would ask Abraham to sacrifice his son, let alone the fact that God was asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, the son of God's promise. And it's also shocking how matter-of-factly that Abraham obeys God's command, seemingly without question, or any attempt to plead for his much-loved son's life. But as shocking as what's going on in this chapter isn't showing us what God requires of us, but what God required of himself. When Jesus left heaven, was treated by contempt by the very people that he came to save, so that we might have life forever in him. And the grace that God showed us when he laid down his life in our place is just as shocking to our human hearts today. Because God's grace shows us that no matter how many good things you've done in the name of Jesus, no matter how long you've been a Christian, none of it is enough to earn your salvation. And maybe even more shocking than that, it also shows us that no matter how many things you've done wrong in the past, no matter how often you struggle with sin, even now, even after your trust in Jesus, if you have faith in what Jesus has done for you on the cross, then none of it is enough to take your salvation away. Because God has provided the sacrifice. He did what we couldn't do when he laid down his life in our place so that we might have life through him. So there are two main points to today's passage. And the first one is that trusting God to provide requires us to trust him even when it doesn't make any sense to us. Last week we heard about the birth of Isaac, the son that God had promised Abraham and Sarah all the way back in chapter 12, which was 25 years before this time. by the time we get to today's passage, Isaac is probably in his mid to late teens. We know this because in verse 6, Abraham lays the wood for the sacrifice in Isaac's arms. And so by this stage, Isaac was at least old enough and strong enough to carry the wood for the sacrifice, which, again, even more shockingly, also means that he was old enough to understand what took place that day. In verse 2, God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Now, of course, Isaac wasn't Abraham's only son. Abraham had fathered Ishmael through Hagar, Sarah's maidservant. But in chapter 21, Abraham had sent them both away to protect Isaac's inheritance. The Hebrew word translated only son could also be translated beloved or unique. As God gave this command, he recognizes the weight of what Abraham was being asked to do. Abraham dearly loved his son Isaac, and Isaac was unique in that he was the son that God had promised to make into a great nation. But now God was asking Abraham to sacrifice his cherished son in the same way that Abraham had done so many times before with a lamb. And so you would have expected Abraham to protest and to question why on earth God was asking him to do something like that. After all, Abraham had pleaded with God for Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 18. And if he was willing to question God in order to save his nephew Lot, you would have thought that he'd be willing to put his life on the line for his much-loved son. But there isn't any indication in these verses that Abraham questioned God's motives at all. Abraham couldn't have possibly understood what God was doing. But despite this strange and shocking request, Abraham must have decided to trust God, even though he didn't understand God's plan. So the next morning, he got up early, saddled the donkey, prepared the wood, and set out for Moriah with two of his servants and his much-loved son, Isaac. This isn't the first time that God had asked Abraham to do something hard, but this certainly was the hardest thing that God had ever asked Abraham to do. Abraham had trusted God when God told him to go, to leave his homeland, to leave his people, to leave his whole support network and go to a place he'd never even been before. But now God was asking him to sacrifice his own loved son. And as hard as that must have been for Abraham, and as distressed as he must have been as he set out, Abraham chose to trust God, to trust that he would do what was right, even if he didn't understand. And so despite his anguish, they made their way to the place that God told them to go. The second point from today's passage is that trusting God to provide requires us to rest in the sacrifice he has already provided for us. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place that God had told them to go. These verses don't tell us how many times Abraham asked the Lord to let them turn around. But as they got closer and closer to that place, the place that God had told them to go, the reality of what God had called him to do must have been sinking in. And the dread of arriving in that place and having to do it must have been horrendous. But because Abraham trusted that God would be faithful to his promise, he knew that God would provide. And so Abraham told his servants to stay where they were while he and Isaac went up the mountain, worshiped the Lord, and then notice there it says, they would return. Abraham couldn't have known how God was going to provide in this situation, but he was trusting that God would. Abraham took the wood and he placed it in Isaac's arms. At this time, Abraham was around 120 years old. And so it would have been a lot easier for this young Isaac to carry the wood up the mountain. And as they made their way up the mountain, Isaac noticed that they were missing something. They had the wood, they had the knife, they had something to light the fire with, but they didn't have the lamb for the burnt offering. Now, Abraham was old, but he wasn't going to forget something like that. And so Isaac asked his father, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham replied, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Abraham didn't know how God was going to do it, but what he did know was that God was going to provide. When they reached the place, Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood, and then bound Isaac and put him on the altar. But there's obviously a lot more that happened than that. Up until now, these verses give the impression that Isaac had no idea that his father was about to sacrifice him on the altar. And Isaac was younger and no doubt stronger than Abraham and would have been able to resist Abraham's attempts to tie him up. And so it seems that Isaac was allowing this to happen, not because he understood or really understood what God was going to do, but he believed that God would provide. And as Isaac lay there bound on top of the wood, Abraham raised his hand with the knife, but just before he went through with it, the angel of the Lord called out, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your one and only son." It was right then that Abraham looked up and saw this ram that was caught by its horns in the thicket. He took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." Because there in that place, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. And then God provided the sacrifice. While they were still there on the mountain, the Lord reaffirmed his covenant with Abraham, swearing by himself because there was no one greater to swear by. And then they returned and made their way back to Beersheba. And who knows? No one knows what they went back and told Sarah about what had just happened. In today's passage, God was testing Abraham. God was making sure that Abraham was willing to trust him beyond what he could see or understand, and that he genuinely believed that God would provide. In that strange list of names at the end, the list of Nahor's sons, we hear about a son who has a daughter named Rebekah. And that strange little four verses on the end is showing us that even though God had called Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, God was, even while he was doing that, preparing a wife for Isaac. God was never intending that Isaac be sacrificed. He was encouraging Abraham to trust in his faithfulness. Abraham was a man of great faith, but he was also a man who had doubts at many times because he was just an ordinary man. Sometimes he rushed and things and took matters into his own hands instead of trusting the Lord. But even though Abraham's actions didn't always show that he feared the Lord, in his heart and his mind, Abraham believed that the Lord would provide. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19 explains this. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did raise Isaac back from the dead. So today's passage is reminding those who trust in Jesus that we don't need to know how God is going to save or even who God is going to save. We don't have to have all of the answers. All God wants us to do is put our faith in the sacrifice that he has provided for us through his Son. Today's passage is one of the clearest Old Testament passages of the Lamb of God, who wasn't slain in the place of Isaac only, but in the place of you and me. Abraham was willing to offer up his one and only son because he believed that no matter what happened, God would be faithful to his promises. But on the cross, God the Father sent his only Son as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. God provided the sacrifice. Jesus, who died once for all those who put their faith in him. Today's passage isn't showing us what God requires of us. It is showing us what God required of himself. These verses are reminding us of the high price that God was willing to pay for you and for me. It's shocking that God would ask Abraham to sacrifice his much-loved son. But how much more shocking should it be to us that God was willing to offer up his own perfectly sinless and holy son? These verses show us that God is always faithful to his promises, no matter what the price, which means that our hope and our salvation is secure if we have faith in Jesus. The Jews who crucified Jesus and the disciples who were looking on, they didn't understand how the death of this man on the cross would fulfill God's plan. And they certainly didn't expect him to be raised to life to guarantee the eternal life of all those who trust in him. But God wants us to trust him even when it doesn't make any sense. He wants us to trust him when it's uncomfortable, when it takes us out of our comfort zone, when it requires us to trust him even when we don't understand. Because God is always faithful to his promises. And he is always working all things together for the good of those who love him. And so even if we've done a lot of good things in Jesus' name, even though we've all messed up in all sorts of ways, if we have faith in Jesus, our hope and our salvation is secure because God has provided the offering. Jesus is the promised Saviour of all those who put their faith in him. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks because you did what we couldn't do. No matter how hard we try, we could never measure up to your glory, to your standards of good. But Lord, because of your love for us, knowing that we couldn't, do what you required of us. You provided the offering. You gave up your one and only Son in our place. Lord, we thank you for your costly love. We pray that you would help us to live in the light of this incredible mercy. We pray this in the name of your precious Son. Amen.